Welcome back to Your Health. I'm Pamela Clark, and today we're talking about Tourette's syndrome, what it's like to live with a disorder. We've got on the line Duncan McKinley, who was diagnosed with Tourette's syndrome at age 19, and Kelly Haynes. Kelly, when were you diagnosed with Tourette's syndrome?
I was actually diagnosed at 50 years of age after 6 months in the hospital. So that was in the early 80s. So 15, I was diagnosed.
15 and 19, and yet, did you know Duncan said he knew he had a secret from the age of 7? So that was, 12 years?
Yeah, I certainly did know. It was to the point where I wasn't going to school, and I was in the backyard just flailing my arms and having to do repetitive things. So it was like a secret, too, that I didn't want to talk about. And from there, I ended up 10 missing a year, and no one really knew why. Lived in a small town with a lot of, and then ended up in the hospital. I think it was after about 4 months they said, we think your daughter has Tourette's syndrome. And then from there, after many medications and so forth, and therapy, I started to something maybe into what I felt. it definitely, and so did my parents.
One of the reasons that Kelly and I are both so passionate about helping youngsters with Tourette's syndrome, Kelly through her pup she's writing and the book that I'm writing, presentations and such, is because both of us are very aware from being that one of the most difficult things about dealing with Tourette's syndrome when you were slated is not the sense of what you thought about yourself and how the world treated you and for so long ago. We both really recognize the power of just simply early intervention and getting lots of education and positive attitude going. It can circumnavigate so many problems.
Right, and if I can say the thing is having Tourette's, that's difficult. But being teased or not being going to school and being thought of as a person, that's the hardest thing because everybody wants to belong. And if we can, like Duncan says, I worked with him before too, which was wonderful, had the opportunity to Duncan. But it was really a hey, we understand what it's like to be teased, and here we are now, and let's do something about it, and let's look at the strengths that we have, positive things, and the talent,
I know myself that when I was growing up, particularly the teenage years, I couldn't have been lower. I mean, of whether I was going to kill myself, it was a matter of when and how. And really, I derived no pleasure out of living whatsoever and wanted life to be over with. And from going as then to where I am now, it really fueled a lot of my passion for helping these kids because I'm nothing special. If I can do it, they can do it. A person bar an attitude to swing so 180, then I can't think of anything more tangible I could do in my life than help other people get you a little quicker than I did.
Yeah, and you get so much out of it from whether it's doing my ventriloquism in front of kids and being nervous ahead of time and whether it's educational shows, a couple actually came up and said, are you okay? Are you nervous? They had Tourette's too, and they were saying, keep believing yourself, you can do it. And I find that a lot of times when I go to counseling, it's old souls, I Duncan, there.
Yesterday, Kelly, I went to the website after we spoke, and I looked up some of the emails, and they are heartbreaking, and I'd just like to read one out to our listeners. It says, hello, Kelly and pals, and that's a puppet. Sometimes I find it really hard to cope with my TS. Sometimes I want my mom to cut off my foot or my hand.
because of my most annoying tic that's my life completely. My name is Allison, and I'm 10 years old. It was staggering, and it's heartbreaking. I mean, this is a so much, I guess, self-loathing. How can you help a child cope with it?
You can just turn it around, and you can say, hey, well, I talked to Camilla, my frog, and Puppet, and McGraw, my the person who knows them very well, actually. They quite like Duncan. And we say, okay, what can we do? And we talk about the things of how it feels like you want to just get rid of that body part because it's so anxiety is so high. You kind of say, you know, hang in and there's hope and there's right a tunnel. And even though I can say it now and then ends when my husband is here and I come through the door and I'm just exploding and kept everything inside for so long. You just look at it forward, and if you can just say, hey, you're not going crazy, there is going to be day, you just got in, boy, are you ever going to be a strong grown-up person or a strong teenager through that going crazy? I think the big thing is when you're having this terrible feeling and stuff going around inside, if you can just be told, look, and pass, you're in the right place, don't be afraid, and definitely just please give that kind of advice and also say, hey, I understand what it feels like to have so much that you just don't want to be here anymore. So I'm sticking with the positive and saying, hey, no, you're not alone. And please don't, when you feel, just know that you're not alone. And you can get through it. It's kind of like a coach.
I think that's actually what Kelly just made there at the end was a really good point about sticking with the positive. But I think what I didn't recognize, it took me some time to realize, is that yesterday I was talking about Tourette syndrome as sort of an amplification of self, basically, like, not working that well, the sensors aren't working that well, a little bit quicker and bigger. And so many people diagnosing and looking at the symptoms and trying to come up with treatment, so many people are focusing so intently on the negative aspects of being disinhibited that they forget completely about the whole other side of the picture, the positive aspects. There are doctors, there are actors like Kelly, there are sports, there are lawyers, there are teachers, there are artists, there are all sorts of people that are succeeding, not in spite of their threats, but because of their the disinhibition, that has helped them to become extraordinarily smart or talented or creative. And when you learn to tap as well and channel the energy into the positive, constructive stuff, you start to recognize, hey, Tourette's isn't necessarily bad. The quality of yourself, and you can either focus on the good or focus on the bad, just like in yourself.
But Duncan, how did you go from a teenager to this self-confident, very articulate, very positive?
Thank you.
I'm out of words. It's like, that is such a leap. And what, in less than, you're 27 years old, I think you said?
I just turned 27 last weekend, yes, so I'm diagnosed with 8 years now. Well, so one thing, look at that, that's 8 years. It didn't happen quickly. It didn't happen overnight. Real change never does. I think that there's a number of things I can point to. First, education. The more you understand that, that can get better in a number of ways. For one, you no longer lies as much. You no longer think, I'm a bad, awful person, and you internalize every time someone laughs at you or doesn't understand you, or you have a hard time getting good grade or what have you. Because not that you have an excuse, it shouldn't be used as an excuse, but you have an explanation. You realize, okay, I'm not a bad person. I'm actually a very good, really tough, overwhelming problem, and that can really salvage your self-esteem. I think the other reason education is good is because it can rip a troll back to your life. For example, something that has, stress makes my threats worse. Well, for that'll make my Tourette's worse. It's still going to, but you can, and being able to predict the situation, avoid going into that room full of busy people if you don't feel like having your Tourette's go haywire, can be a really powerful thing. Another very important piece of parents use as an excuse that, in retrospect, my mom has said to me before, well, you know, it's glad we know now, but, you know, we think that, you know, had we known back then, to get away with it. And I had parents that wanted to help, willing to compromise on the means to which I did things, but they weren't willing to compromise on the ends. They weren't willing to let me cop out and say, okay, you don't have to do this, and we'll let you get away with this because you're having difficulty with it. They basically have, no, you still have to, well, you may have to do it a little bit different. We'll have done it. We'll find a way. So I study and work in a very different way. My means are different, but my ends are the same. For the longest time, I rattled on the foot, attitude-wise, because I didn't understand what I had. And so, you know what, if people find out, I'm not going to like me anymore, and I won't have any friends, and no one will want better, et cetera. And so I really self-fed anyone. In essence, I never gave anyone opportunity to show the meter standing. Because when I didn't tell them what was going on, of course they didn't understand. And so then I'd go, ah, see, I told you they wouldn't like me. And starting to give some friends the opportunity to understand, really blew me away. I had really stood up for me and had a laugh about it. And I had said, you know what? We're a lot more comfortable with your threats than you are. And the only time we get uncomfortable about it, comfortable by apologizing for it so much and looking so embarrassed about it. And so what I allowed myself really to have fun, boy, did they ever. I think there's a whole other number of things I could point to. Also, just make a haven. I mean, I recognize that I've got all this energy and opportunity to recharge, and if I don't give myself good off, my strategies will fall apart. And so, you know, kids, if you're living at home, you have your room for your own, but no one can come in if they knock first, and have your room, that's okay. If you want to have a thing like a bomb just hit, well, so be it, because it's just really important when we live in such an internal chaotic world, to have one little place that is all our own. We know no one will intrude on, control us so little in days to days. I think humor is absolutely vital, but I think I heard someone say something.
Yes, I need to interrupt right here. Please, everyone, stay tuned, and we'll continue to find out more about what it's like to live with Tourette's syndrome after the break. Call us toll-free, 1-866-377-TALK, or go to the Daily Debate site, click on the Your Health site. We've got to address those postings after the break, you guys. We've got a lot of questions out there from the listeners. We'll be right back with Mo.